You ready?
I'm ready. Yeah, anyone ready to hear some noise? Come on, make some noise.
Here we go.
Okay, welcome to Raging and Raging. This is Dev and
I'm Tasha,
and this is a podcast slash book club. This week we are reading Little B. And from the title of that story, you would think it's like just a super little twee, cute little book, but it's not. It is quite emotional. The author, Mr. Chris Cleave,
got a lot going on there.
He had a whole lot going on there, a lot of feelings.
But there were some bright spots.
I don't know.
Because, you know, there was a lot of compassion in the book. That's one thing.
That's true.
I was trying to find a bright light.
You know what?
So damn depressed.
It was kind of depressing. So, like,
there
the
was some compassion.
that is true. So I guess that was a little bright spot. So the first theme that I had here was in the vein of the sad parts of the book was suffering and loss. So just a whole lot of dark shit. So the main character, now we're going to fuck this woman's name up. I really feel bad. But Nikki Ruka? Is actually the sister, but the main character is Little B. What was her dang? I forgot her real name now.
Udo.
Oh, Udo. You know what? That's right, because I thought of the actress from Orange Is the New Black when I saw that.
Uh-huh.
Whose name is Uzo? Yeah. I think.
It means peace. Right?
It's something like that. Some positive.
It was a whole thing.
So. She is. She just always kept it positive, but she went through a lot of shit. So the main character, Little B, aka Udo, we don't know this right at the beginning, but she lost her family.
Yeah.
And so the Nikki Ruka is her sister, and she saw her sister, you know, she heard her sister die right in front of brutally. Being raped and killed, exactly right. Yeah. I mean, she was kind of hiding, so she didn't see it, but, you know, it was really brutal and sad. And she lost her parents as well. And then the other main character was Sarah. A very nice white lady. And, you know, Sarah was kind of about that life. She kind of was.
Sarah was a bored housewife who had a void to fill. I feel like it could have been any country.
You think so?
Any person of color.
But you know what? It could have been until Sarah literally cut her finger off to save the Nikki Ruka and Little B. She could have been any white lady. That's true. But I mean, her husband wasn't willing to do that. So Sarah's husband is Andrew. And so Sarah also had loss because Sarah's husband, when they came, Little B and Sarah and the whole squad, they met on a beach in Nigeria. Sarah and Andrew were on a vacation, of course. They thought, why not? Let's go to a beach in Nigeria.
That was very strange.
But not in like the vacation-y part of Nigeria.
No, and the part that was like being ravaged by warfare.
And they knew that. There was a travel warning.
Right?
Like, they knew that, and they still went.
So it was very strange that they met because Little B and her sister was actually hiding after watching their parents die. Right? And they were on the beach romancing. That's so weird.
It's
that was such a
that juxtaposition. And so.
But I mean, that's important.
It is important. And so Sarah and Andrew make it out. And then they get back to Britain. But when Little B calls up Sarah and Andrew's house when she makes it to Britain, and then Andrew is so traumatized by hearing her voice, he kills himself. So that was Sarah's loss.
Yeah, I didn't understand that, though, you know?
I think he felt guilty.
That you couldn't. I think he felt guilty
because he couldn't help them, and Sarah did. I don't know. He was weak.
I don't think he felt guilty. He was definitely weak on so many levels. He couldn't even. He wasn't even fucking her right. But that's beyond the point.
Wow.
That's so beyond the point. Remember, she was like, sex with him was like a chore, like a wifely chore she did.
Yeah, but Sarah was also cheating on him, so
yeah,
she was already out of the. You know,
he was not really a connected person, though. Like,
yeah, I think he was a little
there,
and I think he kind of was one of these people that think they're so above it all, and. He made her feel bad about herself, I think, because she worked at a fashion magazine and he was like some big important. Right. Like she was not like some floofy do nothing person, you know, but I think he still made her feel, I don't know, like small and, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I also think she felt small. And so, in a way, that's what I'm saying, like, about her kind of a finger. I think she felt small anyway, because nothing seemed to be enough for Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, even when her starting the magazine, it just wasn't enough. Like, she just felt like, well, yeah, this isn't good enough anymore. We need to write serious stories. We need to do things that she felt like were important. I think part of her cutting off the finger was, like, just let me be... It kind of was, like, white lady, let me be important and save these
people.
Let me
find some kind of purpose.
But, like, yeah, but like also I'm saving myself because they're gonna kill us all.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know.
I'm not really sure.
No, you know, I was willing to give her that because I just think about, well, I can't say I can see myself in that situation because you wouldn't look. I like a trip, but I like to keep it to the tourist approved areas. Okay, if people don't want me there, I don't want to be there. I'm sorry.
Right. I could take a hint.
Exactly. So I can't say I would be there, but you know, if on some alternate, you know, universe, I ended up there, you know, I don't know. Could I cut my finger off even to save my own ass? I don't know.
Oh, to save your own, I think people do a lot to save their own ass, but I think when it comes down to it, people saving other people, a lot of people wouldn't do it. We want to believe we would.
Right. Right.
You would want to, but it would be like Andrew, like, nah, though.
When it came down to it, you couldn't do it.
I can't do it, yeah.
So I don't know, when I see that she did that in that situation, even if it was just to save her own ass, you know, I don't know. I just don't know if I could do that, you know? I don't know. But yeah. I guess it's, you know, you could see it different ways. So in addition to losing family, a big part of this was losing innocence. So little B, going through all of this, she was only 16 years old at the time that this book was being written. When she was telling us about being in a like immigration detention center,
did they ever say how many years it was?
I think she had been in the detention center for 2 years. So she got to.
So she was 14.
Right, and then 16 years old. When, you know, everything, when she finally got out and met Sarah and everything. So her innocence was just gone. I mean, she lost her family. She lost her little sister. Oh, no, her big sister, sorry. And then all this is going on. She's only 16 years old. Like, you know, she barely got the chance to be a kid and definitely didn't get a chance to be like a young woman.
She lost her adolescence. Right. Definitely.
Right. And so even... you know, little B, it's kind of clear to see how she lost her innocence. But talking about Sarah, you know, as you said, this white lady, you know, midlife crisis. Oh, let me find meaning and blah, 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 blah.
But the loss of her finger is like a huge loss. I'm not
it is.
Downplaying that. That's a huge loss.
But more than that, I mean, you kind of lose your view of the world. Like you. Right, your worldview kind of shifts when you say, oh my God, this crazy shit. Like when you hear about, you know, all these crazy wars and the things that people go through all over the world, it's kind of far away. But she saw this, you know, right in front of her, and that's definitely got to change. Yeah,
she definitely lost like that privilege.
Exactly.
That she had just being someone from
Britain. Exactly.
And not from a country like Nigeria.
Right. And then Andrew.
Charlie lost a lot.
What'd you say?
Charlie lost a lot.
Right.
Charlie was dealing with loss really hard. It was hard on him.
Right. And he, you know, he's what, 3, 4? when his dad, Andrew, kills himself.
Yeah.
Right. So he pretends he's a superhero, and he thinks his dad died because of him, because he wasn't Batman that day.
Always Batman. Yeah. That broke
it was
heart.
It was so sad.
It's also like, I'm gonna be Batman because that means he might not be really dead. If I, you know, like
that,
if I run around like that.
And also, maybe, you know, if I don't say Batman, maybe I'll lose my mom too. Like, who knows? You know, the way kids process things is always so interesting. The way they put, you know, they have such limited information about the world. So every little piece of information they have, they just connect in these really interesting and crazy ways. Yeah. So, of course, it's not because he didn't have his cape on that his dad killed himself. It's a way bigger issue.
But
he connects it to that. And it's just, it's really sad.
I do appreciate how patient Sarah was.
She was.
That was really lovely to see, and like letting him process that on his own, mm-hmm. and not ever trying to force him to deal with death in a way that she felt like was acceptable or pro. You know, like a lot of people would try to force the kids to like take it off.
Right.
Like,
That's got to be hard.
Yeah, but that was like lovely. I'm sure, in a sense, though, it was like light for her. Like, she knew he was dealing with it in his way, but mm-hmm. he was also really running around in a Batman costume. So that did. That might actually have helped, you know, her own grief.
That's true. That's true.
Because she was like, at least he has some joy in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he is processing, at least he does, like, have some joy still left.
That's true. That's true. And even, so we said Sarah was cheating on Andrew with this guy named Lawrence. Who, I mean, he just... He worked for like the government. I still have no idea what that is.
Funny name for immigration. I think.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's home office in the UK. It's like an immigration thing, right? Like,
you know, I don't know, girl.
What it was. So I thought that was kind of one of the reasons why Little B was like, I don't like this nigga. Yeah.
Oh. But she just was attracted to just some weak ass motherfucker. I mean, Lawrence is just, I don't know, he's so unsubstantial to me. He's also married, but he's like afraid of losing her. It's just, he's like a leaf. He just floats
it.
He's weightless.
So beautiful and accurate. Thank you for that. That's the perfect way to describe
it. It was just so sad. Because I think, you know, Sarah isn't a perfect character, but I think she has some weight to her.
She has a lot of strong qualities.
Right. And he just was a whole lot of nothing to me.
Well, he was there, though.
He was there for his own self.
But like, does it matter? Like, the same thing was, I think Sarah did that for herself. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, does it matter? As long as they're there.
It did matter because what he did when he was there. Because what he did when he was there was try to get rid of Little B. He threatened to go to authorities about her. And he tried to, you know, convince Sarah, you know, this girl, what are you going to do? And all this other stuff.
Get rid of her, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yeah. Instead of being like, okay, this is what you need to do.
I think she did. In like just a really superficial way. She needed like a placeholder. Like, she needed someone exactly like him, like, just to be there.
Yeah. Sit. Yeah. Maybe.
Doing nothing.
Well, hopefully she found herself a man with some weight to him, some substance after,
She got a new job or something.
Something.
I don't know. I think they're still alive, though.
Oh, like, okay. We're going to get to this. We're going to get to that. But moving on from the suffering and loss of it all, I think another important theme was resilience and finding joy. So in the first chapter, when Little B is still in the immigration detention center, she says a couple of very interesting things. The first thing she said that stuck out to me was there's beauty in scars because scars only form on living people. So she was talking about, I think one of the girls at the detention center had scars on her body, right?
Was that your vet?
I don't know if it was her or the girl that didn't speak.
The one with no name?
Well, there was...
Oh, it was a girl I didn't
speak. The beautiful girl that had the yellow, and I think she had scars on her neck, or was that the girl with no name?
Her legs?
I don't remember.
No, that girl has scarred on her neck.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think, I'm not sure.
Maybe they all had scars.
I'm sure they had some, even if they wasn't physical scars, they went through some shit. And then,
because that one was like the men, they came and then.
And that was another interesting thing she said. So many of their stories started with the men came. Yeah. And that was, ooh, that's heartbreaking. Mm. That's heartbreaking. And then another thing she said was about sad stories. But no story is really sad, because if someone is telling a story, that means they live to tell their story. So it's, even if it is a sad story, you know, it also means that the person is a survivor because they're able to tell it. So I thought that was really interesting. And I don't know where she got that optimism based on like all the terrible shit she went through. Where did she get that shit from?
Well, some people are, resilience is a type of thing that is like, some people just have more, and then through trauma, some people gain it. So if you're someone mm-hmm. like already just got it, and then you go through something very traumatic and you gain a little bit more, you become that, which is beautiful. I don't know many of those people. I'm not one of those people. But
she didn't just, she wasn't just resilient in terms of just surviving, but she found like this beauty in it. And it, like, a lot of people survive, but just to resilience could just be, I'm making it. I'm getting up every day.
That's not resilience.
Of course it's resilience. That's the same thing.
Like, resilience is actually, like, a medical term to, like, the way people fight depression and trauma and abuse. Like, resilience is, like, finding the optimism, enjoying it, so you do more than just survive.
Because mm-hmm.
when you survive, like, you don't function. Like, your body literally does not function the same way as you do when you thrive.
So resilience, you're saying, means to not just survive, but to thrive?
To thrive in the face of past trauma and things like that, and abuse.
Mm. And
the ability to thrive past it.
Okay. And I mean, so the little thing she would do, like she would wear red nail, she would wear really big clothes because she didn't want, you know, guys to look at her. But then she would wear really bright red nail polish because that made her feel, I guess
that was sad.
Her feel beautiful or whatever, or some kind of happiness, you know, in spite of what she was going through. That's another.
Yeah, like that I saw as resilient. That's super resilient, because some people would have put that clothes on and just been downtrodden as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, like just walking through, like I'm an invisible person.
And that would be understandable.
And that would be completely understandable. But she had something left in her to just do a little extra shit just mm-hmm. for you.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
It is. It is.
That's so beautiful. I don't know why she chose red, but you know.
Why not red? Red is bright, it's saucy.
There's something about red nail polish on toes that makes me so nauseous, and I don't.
Why? Know like, that's the best color for toes.
I don't know. I don't know. Mm. It doesn't necessarily make sense.
It's just fair enough.
It's just a phobia.
A phobia. That is a very strong word.
I hate it.
Wow. Ugh, and I'm looking at my toes.
Got maybe red. It's not a phobia. What's below phobia? Huh? I can't see you until that's off. What's below phobia?
Below phobia. phobia. Just disdain. General but dislike.
Above dislike.
I don't know. And
like disdain. Disdain is probably a good word.
Yeah, all right. I mean, nausea is just very strong. But, what else? Oh, she also taught herself English, and it was a way to get ahead.
Like, not even just English, speaking.
But, like, super proper English?
Super proper.
But she, but she didn't quite understand, like, the cultural things behind it. So, and... Mm-hmm.
Did she call somebody an asshole?
Or like she said he was listening to Freddie Mercury, and I guess when she was in the detention center, someone said, "Oh, he's such a cock." So she went to the cab driver thinking this would endear her to him, and said, "Oh, well, you must be a cock." And clearly, girl, no. What? No. I don't even know why. She could have just been like, "Look, this is where we want to go. I don't even know why she needed to be
friends. Right? She had all the tools for that. She had all the tools for that.
Exactly. We did not need all this friendliness. Like, girl, what is we doing?
Yeah.
Anyway. But another thing is, I think this goes back to something we were discussing before. So Lawrence was a source of joy for Sarah, even though... Well, that's, I think that's my big question. Like, was he a source of joy, or was he just a distraction from whatever the hell she was going through?
That's a really good question, because, like, I don't know. I don't understand Sarah and men, because Andrew wasn't particularly a source of joy for her either.
One thing about Andrew, though, is Andrew was really smart, and Andrew was very driven.
She respected him.
Exactly. And I don't...
She didn't respect Lawrence.
I don't think Lawrence respected himself. I mean... I don't hate him.
Everything named Lawrence is trash.
Well, you might be on to something. Wait a second. And it's Sunday, too.
DeAndre.
Yeah. What did DeAndre do? Damn. But, okay, fair enough. But, yeah, I don't know. Lawrence, to me, like you said, I don't think she respected him. So... I don't, he just seems like a distraction, to be quite honest. I don't know.
But sometimes that's what
you
need,
true.
Though. That type of shit has to get through. That's all right, because people come in like seasons, you know.
They come for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. No, I don't know what that stupid is. It's not like just saying this. I don't know, y'all.
Y'all know what said it.
That definitely sound like something Yama ass shit there. My God, that definitely sound like a Yama. Where'd she come up with this shit from? I mean,
I don't know, but you know, it's crazy because she infuriates me, but then sometimes I find myself wrapped in a blanket, like, yes, bitch.
You go, Ayana. Yes, Ayana.
You gotta help me get through this.
Fix my life, Ayana.
So I don't know.
Oh, God.
I don't know how I felt about
her. Oh, God. So the next theme I had was choices. So I think this goes kind of in line with what we were saying. So Sarah chose Andrew, who didn't, you know, really make her feel, who kind of made her feel kind of small, but she still chose him. And then she chose Lawrence. Yeah. And so, but I think there's a passage in the book.
That's what
is,
I wonder.
Yeah, why did she choose these people? But also, like.
Didn't she choose them?
But she did.
Or, like, were they just there?
You know, oh, okay. I mean, but she didn't leave. I mean.
Like, did Lawrence just kind of fall on her lap? And she was like, all right, well, this is what
she was
doing.
Bored. She felt small. Why not?
Maybe she chose Andrew.
She did choose Andrew. And he was very, he was out of character for her.
And they could have made that work, I think, if he lived and he got past, if he lived and finished his story, like, the what he was working on. And they, and I think if he was able to get past it,
I don't know, because he didn't even respect her enough to tell her about it. You know, like, to be like, I'm working on this story because I cannot get past what you went through, and I have to reveal what's going on.
Maybe he couldn't.
And if he couldn't, then I don't know how they would have got past it, because they would have never.
Well, I think if he finished it, he would have told her, because maybe he was just like, I don't want to fail in front of her.
All right, that's a good point. That's a good point.
He seemed like that type of person.
Couldn't go through it while she was watching.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so another question I had. So she, as we said, she opens a magazine. But I think that the book, or maybe people view the choice of her to own a beauty magazine as really vapid. But I don't see that as inherently vapid to have a beauty magazine. There's a lot of very smart...
But there was, no, there absolutely. I think it started out like that, but there was that whole scene where she was talking to that really basic employee of hers.
Oh, her, who's apparently like, her best friend, yeah.
Who was trash.
Yeah, she was pretty, she was garbage.
Super trash. Garbage. And she was like, they was doing a lot of gossip shit, though. So I think that was where she was like, this is not the same as what we started, but they were trying to appeal to like a consumer base.
Right,
so
right.
Which is understandable. That's the business of it.
Those are the stories that make them the most money. But I mean, how many stories does a magazine have every month? They can't have one or two big, you know, feature stories that are about serious things. I don't understand that. And then the cover could be, you know, the latest celebrity wearing some makeup. I mean, I don't understand why they couldn't do both.
They talked about that, though. I think the issue was that people are not, she was like, people aren't really interested in it.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, if that's...
But then I think Sarah was generally just unfulfilled in the work at the mm-hmm. time. Like, she just seemed like nothing would have been enough.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So another thing is... It is. I mean, but I think it's common.
Because she started a whole magazine. I know, but like that's such an accomplishment.
It is.
Like, and I understand she had to walk away from it to like go into, because you sometimes you have to go on new mm-hmm. journeys. But there's something there about like Sarah just seems like she just never, like nothing was ever enough.
Hmm. But I think a lot of successful people feel like that. They always have to do something bigger, something, you know, they always have to improve on themselves every time. I just don't know why it's like, oh, I want to work on something new, so I have to throw out everything old. That doesn't really compute for me.
Yeah. With her thing, I get, I think sometimes you, like, she just had a lot of trauma, and maybe she just needs to, like, a fresh start. I get that, because that's a lot that they went through.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. It's true.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Now, when they went to Little B, Charlie, Sarah, and Lawrence after Andrew's death, they went on a trip to London. And then I think Little B and Andrew start arguing and Charlie runs off. And so of course they, you know, kid disappears, all hell breaks loose. They call the cops. Now, instead of running away or hiding until the cops leave, Little B stays, she knows they're cops and talks to them. And again,
and calls herself Little B.
Again, I mean, she speaks perfect English. She chooses, I mean, like she does. She speaks perfect English. She just does not understand the cultural references behind English. So I just don't, sometimes her choices, I just don't understand. But maybe it's
she is 16.
That's true. That's true. But I mean, she's also been through so much, you know?
But there's a lot of, you can have a lot of certain types of life experience and lack all the basic shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because this seems like a lack of basic shit, like her not understanding certain things that like you learn as you mm-hmm. get older, like how to talk to authority and stuff,
or
like
how
that.
Not to just she's just don't talk to them
from authority, or just don't talk. But she doesn't even know her rights. Like there's a bunch of logistics mm-hmm. shit too, and she calls herself Little B to them, which like.
Just
like
say your name is Sarah. Say your name is Tina. Yeah, say you know
anything.
Girl, like, what?
Any, it's Twinkie. Like anything.
Oh God. I mean, yeah, but you're right. She's 16. She's been in a detention center for 2 years.
I think that's what it was trying to show. She's probably super socially awkward.
That's probably like, true too. Because I'm thinking of like kids that are, you know, very street smart. Because there's some kids, you know, they could talk their way out of anything, but they also weren't detained for 2 years. And they're also not from a whole different continent. So that's true.
Right. So then there's that whole other side of it.
The cultural thing, yeah.
The cultural thing of it.
Yeah.
But she did walk away for a little bit. She came back because she don't trust Lawrence around Charlie.
I mean, yeah, she walked away. So she already knew in her head, like, all right, I might need to distance myself.
Everybody loved Charlie.
I mean, he was just a cute little kid who pretended he was Batman. How do you not love this kid?
Like, how do you love him?
I mean, come on. Anyway. So,
I wonder if he had a little car too.
Did he do what?
You think he had a little car too?
I don't think he did yet, but in his head he did. Not a literal car.
No, like the little kid's car. Like, little, because this was. Okay, one, can we talk about when this was?
Well, I think it's during the. I think it's near to the height of the Iraq War. So I would think it's like. Maybe like a 2006 when things were getting really bad, or maybe a little bit after 2007, but I don't think it's now.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell. Like I knew it wasn't. At mm-hmm. first, I thought it was like dated, but that was mostly mm-hmm. when Little B was first speaking, and I think that was mostly because of the mm-hmm. way she was speaking. But then we got to Sarah, and it was like it felt like, is this now? Is this like early? To that, like you couldn't,
because I know they do mention the war, and so I think it's around the time when people were really now. I mean, yeah, we're at war, people don't really talk about it that much, but I think it was right when it was starting to get really bad, and people realized, like, oh, yeah, we're not just gonna go in there and be greeted, and everything's just gonna be great. No, mm-hmm. a lot of people are actually dying, so I think it was around or a little bit after that time. But
around that time, So Charlie could have had a kid Batmobile. That's all I really wanted to get to.
He could have. It wasn't. It wasn't the '70s or something. He definitely could have.
Basically.
Wow. This is just so many hot takes today. So.
To the next topic.
So why? But I think this kind of goes to what you were saying about her feeling unfulfilled. Is that why she chose to go to Nigeria and to a place that was a, you know, a known war zone?
I think that's the part for me where I was like, oh, Sarah is just trying to get her hole filled. And but I mean, like,
I know. I know. Just, sorry.
Like, I just because why go back? I'm sorry.
Right.
Like, oh. You helped Little B so much outside of what you needed to do.
Mean,
you may, you know, like, you lost your husband, you lost your finger.
That's the thing that got me. Why would you bring your baby down there? That's just selfish. I mean, did she have nobody to watch this kid? What did Charlie do?
Right. She got.
I mean, she had money. Right. That she could have gave somebody to watch this child. I don't understand.
She could have gave him to her basic friend. She said when she would watch.
Nah, I wouldn't badly, trust that woman to watch my baby. I'm sorry, that wouldn't have been me.
Your baby would just be eating fruit snacks.
please, he'd be drinking vodka tonics. I don't think so. I don't trust
he'd
that
be
woman.
Eating fruit snacks.
I do not trust that woman. Ugh. Mm-mm. But I mean,
he'd be okay.
He might be.
Might be dirty.
She probably he'd leave okay. him and go meet her hoes or whatever. I don't know. I don't go trust her. Hoes. Yeah, you know she like a tenderoni.
She do like a what?
She did. She did like a. Oh boy. No, but I mean, she did try to help. She was trying to finish Andrew's story about what's going on in Nigeria and the immigration system. Yeah.
But I just felt like that could have done differently.
Mm. Yeah.
They could have all went to the resort.
I mean, something.
Worked with a local organization.
I mean, something.
And they did that way differently.
They could have went to the nice part of Nigeria. Nigeria has some very positive, cute-ass parts. What are we doing? But you know what? Part of the problem is Little B, again, with the bad choices, decided to go back to that 16. Beach. No, but at some point, now this don't make no...
At 16, don't make nothing but bad choices.
But you know that if you go back to the beach where your sister got killed, then you probably going to get killed. And so she decided to go back there to say goodbye to her sister. And of course, the soldiers came and knew their asses was there. And then we don't know what happened. They came up.
But the book is in past tense a lot. So we could assume that one of them is alive. Charlie definitely probably
Charlie's
is alive.
Because
they were all trying to save
even
Charlie.
The little but kids on the beach.
The book
is
in past tense a lot. Yeah, when she was like, go run with them other black bitches. And then the guy pointed at Charlie and she was like, no, Charlie.
Right. If anyone's dead, it's Little B.
It's Little B.
Because her dumb ass decided to go back there. She had this white lady that was trying to help her.
I think Little B, Little B, like, this. The thing that I was thinking about, like, Little B is super optimistic, but sometimes that forced optimistic or that calm you feel when you're, like, super happy, that happens before someone, it's like when someone has planned their suicide and they know they're about to commit it, they get that. And so part of it was, like, she was thinking about all these ways she wanted to die, and a lot of it was, like, survival. Like, it wasn't really, like, dying. It was, like, how do I get out of the situation? Mm-hmm. And death is the only way I know how. But I do think eventually she actually wanted to commit suicide, and she really considered going back to that beach should be the way to do it. And then I think the whole situation with the soldiers probably changed.
Especially when they came after Charlie.
Because now these other people were with her, and maybe she felt in some way responsible.
Yeah. I agree with the point of she kind of seemed, you know, like she was ready to die at any moment. She had made it so far anyway, which she probably didn't expect to.
No, I don't think she expected to.
So
she expected to make it to their house, really.
Right. I agree with that.
Like, she had these tiny goals that she was like, if it happens, it happens. If not, this is how I'll die.
Especially because she had went through so much for her to set, you know, this impossible goal of actually getting back to them that, you know, it doesn't make sense for her to think that's realistic, even though it happened. But, you know.
And I could imagine she has so much guilt that, and I don't think she the guilt is hers, but mm-hmm. I can imagine she has so much with Andrew killing himself after he saw her.
And right.
The girl that hung herself. I mean, none of that has to do with
that
her.
That was really
but
sad.
I could imagine that. Like,
you internalize it.
You would just have so much guilt. Yeah, you would internalize that. Like, everybody around me does.
Right. Right. That's so true. And just to talk more about that girl, I don't know how, I didn't know how to take that. That was just.
It happened so quickly, I feel like.
And just unexpectedly, like they were sleeping, and then she wakes up, and this woman is just hanging from the barn thing. And it almost.
Yeah.
It kind of felt, I don't know, I felt kind of mad at her. Like, you know that you doing this here is going to put these women who are already at risk at much greater risk. Like, what? I don't know. To me, I know it's probably illogical, but I just, why would you do this to them? I know you felt the way, and you felt like you wanted to end your life, but now these other women who you escaped with are, you know, now that, I mean, they could be in jail because of what she had did. And I don't know. It just made me really sad. You know, I guess I should be.
But she had a break, though, right? She had a
she
break.
She did.
Right.
She did.
The day before that.
Right.
So I guess in a way, like, if you, like, we should have saw it coming, right?
No, because I mean,
I don't know. I look back at it like she saw like her kid and everything,
right?
That she had this. I don't know. I feel like we could have saw it coming. Like,
but I mean, she had
what she realized her kid wasn't there. She might try to.
But she had been in that detention center for so long and never did anything like that. And then the day she gets out,
well, we don't know.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I don't know. It was just really sad. And then you know.
She did put all those
right. So Little B saw that.
I kind of fucked with
and
Yvette.
And yeah, Yvette, I'm like, what happened to Yvette?
I enjoy Yvette.
She was a riot.
She was a riot.
She was a riot. I mean, this woman, and she always had her makeup did. Like, she just, you know, another resilient one. Just making the shit work.
Another resilient ass bitch. We had three slices of pineapple.
Yes, child.
But a gum bitch. She was like, I bet you're wondering, where's this bitch going? To the right motherfucking place. That would be your best friend.
She was making it work. I enjoyed her.
That, yeah.
So, just to get to the ending, you said you thought everybody survived? Like, what do you think happened?
Well, because the book was in past tense a lot, right? So I was like, somebody had to survive. Like, who? Then there's two narrators, so you could assume both of them.
Aren't most books in past tense?
Survived, I mean.
Like, she said, and yeah.
She said, yeah. I guess. It just felt like it was them telling a story that they lived already.
Mm. I don't know. I mean, I don't think they would.
I mean, realistically, Little B would have died. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably both of them.
I don't think they killed the white people because that would bring a whole thing. I think probably Sarah lived.
Sarah,
yeah, and
lived.
They probably took.
You know, she lost another figure.
No, I don't think she lost another figure. Probably they took, you know, Little B into custody. They probably didn't kill her there, but
into custody.
No, I think they probably took her into custody to make it look like, you know, because it was right in front of this white lady and a bunch of people knew she was there. Then by then they knew she was a journalist. Yeah. So they probably took her into custody to make it look like, you know, one thing. And then if she went to look for her, oh, Little B, who's that? We don't know. So I don't know.
Oh, does Sarah know her name?
I don't remember.
No, does Sarah know her name? I don't think Sarah knows her actual
right.
name.
She only told her real name to Charlie.
Said Charlie.
Unless Charlie remembered her name when she told him.
Yeah, Charlie don't remember that shit.
But you know, sometimes you say a thing and you don't think a kid is listening and then they start repeating the shit. So it might be one of those situations.
It might be one of those situations.
Yeah.
I just feel like a 3-year-old will remember Little B.
I mean, but yeah. But he wanted to know her name so bad, though.
So bad.
So maybe
he might have made it a point to remember.
Right.
It.
So the thing with the so the white savior complex, does this story complicate that? Does this feed into that thing? To me, it kind of complicated it because we got to look into, okay, we have Andrew on one hand who could not even muster up the courage to be that savior, even if it was to save his own ass. We have Sarah, who we know is definitely a flawed character. We know she's got all kind of shit going on. But, you know, in the end, she really did try to help, even if she was a flawed, quote-unquote, savior. So I thought it was self-aware that was a trope, even if at times it kind of fed into it. So how did you feel about it?
I thought it complicated it, because I think throughout the book, you saw women saving each other.
Okay.
Like, Little B saved those girls in the beginning. Like, they wouldn't have gotten... I know that we don't know if they survived, but I don't know if they would have made it past, like, the gate if she didn't hop on that phone and, like, get together, you know? I mean, I think in a sense, Little B saved Sarah a bit, too. She gave her a lot of closure. Like, we don't know how the book ended, but we do know that Sarah made a choice to finish the work he was doing, and that probably helped her a lot with her grief. And Charlie took off the Batman.
He did.
Charlie took off the Batman costume, so... Also that.
Yeah, so it complicated a lot, which I appreciated.
Right. And so a lot of this we discussed already, but what the hell happened to Yvette and the other girls? Like, in your wildest dreams, what do you think happened to the other girl? Yvette and the girl that doesn't speak.
Nobody made it but Yvette in my wildest dreams.
That's true. Honest. Yvette was the bitch that was going to make it.
Yvette is probably famous, and we are not. Yeah. You know, she's probably the type of person that is doing really, really well. But she also said that there's a whole enclave of Jamaicans.
I'm sure she did. They found her. Yeah.
Because she's the only person that really got out.
It's a terrible Jamaican.
She was like, I did what I had to do, and I got me, you, and some other bitches out.
Right.
We don't got papers, though.
She just makes shit work.
It was so tight.
Who was the girl with the bag of papers? Like, bitch, you don't need that no more. Papers. You here.
She had papers.
She had lots of papers.
But Little people was like, what the fuck are our papers? They were papers, like, nah, bitch.
Don't worry about that. Why you got so many questions?
Bitch, we out. She was...
I said what I said. Oh, my God. So
I don't see good things happen to that girl. I'm sorry. It's very sad.
So yeah, you know, Yvette's, you know, she's that bitch. You know, she's gonna make it. Basically. If anybody gonna make it. So I think that's all I had. Did you have anything else you wanted to add here?
No, I think we got through this depressing book. You know.
I know. I thought it was good, but it was some dark ass moments.
It was sad. You feel all right?
I feel all right now, but right after I read it, I was like, where's the rest of it? What happened? So, I don't know. But anyway, thank you for listening to Read It and Rage In. Again, I'm Dev, and
I'm Tasha.
That's who that is. It might be a couple weeks before we record again, because Miss Tasha is, like, you know, out here doing big things. So she's settling she will be settling her new home. But when we come back, we'll definitely let you know what we read next. And thank you again for listening. Bye.